Katie, and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This is episode 21, and this week I'm talking to Humina from Play, Live and Learn. We talk about the tiny rebellion of not applying for a school place, home educating alongside of being a professional actor, and learning in front of your children. And now, on with the episode. This week, I'm talking to Humina from Play, Live and Learn. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Not a problem.
Hello.
Okay, so the first question is, tell me a bit about your family.
Okay. Well, I am married to my husband, Martin. We've been married for 8 years, and we have a four-year-old boy called Lucan. And, well, I'm originally Mexican. Was born and raised in Mexico City, and my husband is British, and I've been living in the UK for about 12 years. So originally I was going to come here for a year. I was studying, but then in that year I met Martin, and then things just changed and here I am. I'm an actress. I'm a mom, obviously, but I'm an actress as well. That's my professional job. And Martin works for a charity. Our household, like, I speak to my son in Spanish, and so it's a little bit of with a bilingual household, I suppose, although he sort of mostly talks to me in English, to be honest. I think when he knows, like, when Spanish speakers come, that's when he switches, which is really interesting. But I think he knows that I can speak English, and all my friends here speak English, so he kind of chooses to speak to me in English. But anyways, that's kind of who we are. And we started homeschooling, home educating a month ago, whenever school started. So it's all quite new to us. It's, it feels like a big adventure. this is who we are.
So how did you start home educating?
Well, that's an interesting question. Basically, when my husband and I thought that we were sort of ready to try looking to go to a nursery, we started looking at different sort of educational approaches, I suppose. So we looked at a Reggio Emilia one and like Montessori and Steiner. We looked at different ones. And to be honest, we kind of struggled to find a setting that really suited our son and us. And finally we found one that where he kind of settled, but the bug sort of was in me then to do more and more research on these educational approaches. And then I started to somehow in my parenting journey, I landed on this sort of philosophy. I don't know if you heard of it, but it's called like respectful parenting. And I got a lot of inspiration from Janet Lansbury, who, you know, was very inspired on Magda Gerber, and the whole idea of like really respecting your child and letting the child kind of, you know, I suppose the thing that stuck with me was sort of each child learns at their own pace. And so I think for me, that was quite a challenging thing because in Mexico, I went to a very traditional school, you know, so I was coming from a very clear idea of what I wanted. I was like, well, he's going to go to nursery and then he's going to go to preschool and then he's going to go to school. And that's just how things are going to be. But interestingly, in my whole parenting journey, I've done the opposite of what I thought I would ever do, you know, in many different ways. So in a way, when the idea of home education started to come to my head, I wasn't as surprised because like, well, so far, everything I said I was going to do, I haven't done.
Yeah.
So home education is like another thing that probably kind of fits the way in which we are being as parents. So when, you know, the date came that we had to register him for school, we were, and my husband and I were so like, it just doesn't feel right. But we weren't sure about home edding either. We're like, oh, but of both options, we were like, no, definitely school doesn't seem to be the option for us right now.
Yeah.
And I remember the deadline, you know, when everyone had to send their application and say, these are the schools that we are choosing. We're like, are we seriously not going to send this thing? Like, are we like ruining our child's future? You know, and then we're like, no, like, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen is that we change our mind. But actually doing something that doesn't feel 100% right, it doesn't. Yeah, let's not go there. So we're like, fine, we're not sending it. And it was quite liberating, to be honest, and like freeing, because there was that pressure, like, we have to get this right. We have to get it right. And so we were like, okay, fine. He's not, we're not going to register him. And there was like sort of a freedom that came with it and a peace. And I was like, oh, okay, this feels good. And then that's when I started sort of around that time thinking about the play, live and learn, and, you know, sort of having some sort of, I don't know, outlet where I could just, you know, put sort of my inspirations and why I started this journey. And just little by little, you know, kind of exploring how our life would be. So I guess, I guess generally that's how we got to the idea of, you know, where we are right now with the whole home ed situation.
I think it feels like we had that. We didn't send the form in. I don't even think, well, we must have got the form. We must have just been sent the form through the post or whatever. We just didn't send it in. And that was the bit where you go, oh, no, we're really doing this. It felt like it was like the first little act of rebellion. Do you know what I mean? And like, nobody else knew. You know, everyone else, I think all of our, you know, our friends and stuff, our kids the same age, assumed we'd done it because they'd done it. And you know what I mean? And nobody really was particularly talking about what school their kid was going to until they got their places.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first sort of rebellious thing, is to go, not sending it in.
We're not
even engaging in that.
I remember for me, it felt a little bit like, you know, when you're pregnant and you feel, and it gets to that point where you're like, oh, like this is actually happening, like I'm gonna have to give birth.
I remember
that moment so well, because the first month's like, pregnancy, and then suddenly it's like, oh, like I'm gonna have to push this baby out, right? So it was that feeling of like, oh, okay, like we're actually doing this.
This is real, and like the alternative of trying to scramble for a school place having not done this, it's not what we want, and also going to be a massive pain. So we are, you're committing to it in the same way as, once you know that your pregnancy is established and everything's okay, you're like, oh, I have to give birth then, don't I? You
know, yeah, at some point. I know.
Yeah, totally.
I think something that also helped in that decision, as we sort of said, okay, we're, you know, something that I guess motivated us a little bit was reading a little bit more about it in terms of, you know, the benefits and, you know, of perhaps starting school a little bit later. You know, I always felt a bit like, oh, you know, how many years are we children? Like 12, and the rest of our lives, well, I mean, some of us don't mature as much, but we're adults a lot of the time. And I think, oh, why not squeeze that sort of passion for free play as much as possible? So I think that's something that I'm really passionate about. It's just, and at that point, when my boy was like 3, 4, I mean, now I see how much he already knows and learns just because of him playing freely. Yeah. And so I wasn't convinced by the idea of, like, a lot of people are like, oh, like, they need structure and structure is important for them. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. But I think, but the world is structured. And one day he will see that there are rules and there are things that he needs to, you know, follow, whatever. But you get that through living, you know, and I mean, if I see how he plays, like there are a lot of instructions and things, you know, and he's very specific about what's happening, but it's according to his interests. And I think there's something really precious and valuable about that. And I kind of wanted to hold on to that. You know, I was like, I want to treasure this and exploit it, but, you know, like squeeze it. Yeah.
Well, I think it's like, you know, it's like that quote about that play is the work of childhood.
Yeah.
Childhood doesn't need to have work in it, like work in it, for them to understand what work is going to be as adults. They're going to be adults. They're going to work out what that is. It's fine. You know, so they can, you know, they can get so much out of play. Let them have more of that.
Yeah.
Instead of squeezing it, you know, squeezing it to the margins.
Yeah. I think another thing that we sort of thought about when we're like, okay, we're doing this, is like, can we actually do it? Because I think that was a key thing for us in terms of our lifestyle and work and stuff, you know. And then we got to the realization, it's like, oh, like we're actually quite lucky, and I feel really grateful that we can actually, because I think it is a gift, and I have friends who would love to do it, but they just simply can't because of their situation, you know, like their financial situation or like how their family works. And so it so happened, there's like, you know what, we actually can do this. And so, you know, let's embrace that. So I think it's something that I really want to always say and share, because it is a privilege, I think. And it's a wonderful thing when you can do it.
Yeah. So how does your acting work kind of balance with home life. Balance is a really stupid word to use because, you know, like, we don't have balance, like, generally.
I think the thing about, I've realized that the thing with acting and home ed is that it's quite sporadic and quite free and quite unstructured and you know, chaotic in a way, because I wouldn't be able to say that, oh, I'm like constantly working as an actress. You know, so sometimes it's very busy and sometimes it's not, and that was another reason why I thought actually it does really suit the lifestyle of an actress, because you know, you have to be really open and free. I think it does get quite challenging when, for example, sometimes my agent calls and it's like, we have an audition tomorrow and this is the script and you have to, you know, learn your lines. And that's quite hard because suddenly it's like, I can't be a mom right now. I can't, I just have to focus on this and I don't have family nearby. My husband, his job is relatively flexible. So sometimes he can step in, sometimes obviously he can't. So that's when it's like a little bit of a panic thing. It's like, okay, what do we do? So, you know, sometimes depending on the amount of lines I have to learn, sometimes like an episode of Paw Patrol can Paw Patrol comes to the rescue.
It's
just like the best thing ever. And I was like, yes, Paw Patrol is like amazing. But sometimes if it's like, you know, a bigger thing, then, you know, obviously call a friend or babysitter or something that like that, so that, you know, I have that. So there is an element of panic a little bit sometimes. But we, now that he's a little bit older, he understands that as well. I remember so well when I think Lucan was about 13 months. You know, at that time when they're literally into everything, just like cannot stay still. And I had to learn this. It was my first job at the Globe Theatre, and I had to learn like this Shakespearean sonnet. And I had to learn in English and in Spanish because they wanted that sort of variety. And I remember thinking, how am I going to do this? And I really want to, and I really have to learn it. And at that point, my boy wouldn't be able to sit and watch more than 5 minutes. So my husband was away and I was like, oh. So I remember, you know what, I'm just going to make a film of this moment of chaos and panic that I'm having. So I literally remember putting my iPhone on different places in the house. And I remember Lucan was in that throwing place. You know, I would put the food on the table, he like threw everything, and then like we had like these big windows, and I remember there's this a little scene in the film where he grabs all the clean clothes and starts throwing them out of the window, and I was letting him do it just because he would be dramatically good in the film, right? But I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna have to go down and pick all my pants from like down there on the street, and then but then as I was happening, I was letting him just be free, and I was like repeating this stuff. And there's this scene as well when I'm like carrying him, because naps with him were quite tricky. So always like either on the pram or rocking him or singing. Or so I was like sort of rocking him, and rather than singing, I was repeating the sonnet and then breastfeeding and everything, you know. So the whole thing became like this really, well, I think it's a really nice little film. And so that's when I thought, oh, actually, maybe I can include him a little bit more. So it's not always possible, but now that he has a say and he helps me sort of sometimes learn lines, and, you know, so I sort of included him in the process. And he can now also come to London with me as well, you know, when there is an audition, and he can wait outside the room. And, you know, when he was a baby, that was harder because I never knew, and wants to be fed or whatever, and you don't want to be screaming. As well, the industry right now, I find that it's opening up a little bit. So casting directors are much more open to having actors with their kids around, which is wonderful, you know. That's so there's brilliant. Not that moment of panic, like, you know, so you see a lot of moms with their kids there, and, you know, you're all looking at each other like, oh yeah, that's really hard when they do that. And, you know, so, so that's how kind of, so it's always a juggle. But so far, I think the biggest challenge is that when, you know, when I have a script and, when you have to cancel the things they have next day. So like, for example, oh, tomorrow we're going to go to the forest. Well, I guess we're not going to go anymore because I have to go into London. And, you know, it's not ideal sometimes if you like things planned, but that's the nature of my job. And in a way, I like that because then it's like, okay, well, let's see what we can do in London. And we can go to a museum and stuff, you know. So it works quite well with that sort of freedom, I suppose. if you like that kind of thing.
It's about being flexible, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, completely.
And I think the nice thing about home education is, like, it is a lifestyle. It's not a thing that you do in set hours. So, you know, yeah, if you can be flexible, it's that rearranging, isn't it? Of like, okay, well, we won't do this thing, but we're going to do this thing instead, or we're going to do this thing at a different time or whatever.
Yeah, and I think it is definitely been a learning curve, and I'm still learning in that, because as I say, you know, I don't know, I think that a lot of parenting is about working through your own stuff from your past, right, and from your childhood.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes I love this, but I have these voices in my head like, oh, no, but, like, you need to teach something, or, you know, it's like, oh, like, he's going to miss that. So, you know, it's about also working on that, you know, myself, and, you know, kind of, it's not like, I love the idea of flexibility, but it is something that takes practice and work. But yeah.
And I guess this is a good example of, like, we all have a need for community. And particularly, and then, you know, I was gonna say particularly as home educators, but actually, like, no, everybody needs community. And we, you know, like, over time we build up, hopefully, a group of people around us who, if they need us to take their kids for a bit because they have to do a thing, we can do that, you know, some of the time. And if we need them to take our kids, they can do that. And then it's not just, okay, how do I as a single person, I don't mean single in a but, you know, how do I as an individual person make all of these things work when I can't make everybody happy? It's like, no, we need community. And then you know, it's the give and take of community that just makes that more doable.
And I think that's where I am at the moment, is trying to, you know, because we've literally just started this journey. That's where I am, is like, you know, it doesn't feel like I have like a big community. I know it's there, but it's, you know, we're just, I mean, I have a lovely, really lovely friend with whom we're both in the same boat. So that's already helpful. It's like, oh, we're doing this together, you know, and it's great. And she's been amazing at helping me in occasions like this. But it's just, yeah, at the moment it's like, oh, okay, who are we going to meet this group? And, you know, so we're in that process right now.
Yeah, I mean, and that takes time, you know, and to get a real kind of steady group, you know, and people you can genuinely really trust and rely on in that way. Yeah, can take years, you know, like, just because it can. But yeah. So what do you love about home education?
Well, what do I love about home education? I think I love that it's an opportunity. I think it has been an opportunity for me to learn as well. And I'm really passionate about that. And some people have always said, oh, like, what are you going to teach today? And, you know, like, I think there's this notion, some people think, like, I'm suddenly going to, I mean, I do have a blackboard, but, you know, I'm going to be like, okay, today's here are the vowels, you know, A, B, C, you know, or A, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think the idea that one of the things that really excited me about home ed was, actually, I personally love learning. And so, and I'm sure most parents would agree that our kids are very wise in ways that we have forgotten. And so I think I love that, you know, it's an invitation for me to join in and play. I mean, sometimes after 10 times of playing pirates, you're like, I don't want to play pirates anymore. But, you know, it's that, what can I also learn from this? And I think that's where I would challenge people sometimes, like, why does education only have to be like a teacher? I mean, there are amazing teachers out there, but you know what I mean, like, teachers sort of like, okay, so this is my knowledge and you're all going to listen and take it in. So when actually kids, you know, teaches a lot as well. So that's something I love. I obviously love something that we've talked about just now, the freedom that comes with it, you know, not having that structure. But it's more about the freedom, not so much. Yeah, it's this, not so much about the structure, but actually the freedom that comes from my child when he follows his own interests.
Yeah.
So that sort of freedom, I think it's very beautiful. I recently posted something on my Instagram about that, you know, about how Lucan was a little bit like, oh, I don't know what to do, mommy, and I'm bored, and can you play with me? And, you know, and I was busy doing some things, and At one point, you know, when those words, I'm bored, and suddenly you feel like, okay, I need to entertain or I need to do something because he's bored and he can't be bored and I should be teaching it, all this kind of stuff, noise in your head. But just if you manage to just wait a little bit, that there's always something that, you know, your child will come up with. And then, well, I don't know if always, but anyways, he came up with the idea of being a postman. And I was like, okay, a postman, great. Maybe you need envelopes. And, you know, I started to sort of facilitate that. But it was his idea. I was like, oh, we need a box and we need this and we need a costume. That's what I mean by freedom, you know, like that was, he just thought of the idea and I was just sort of supplying, you know, things that he was asking. And then I love that. I think that's for me what home education is like. You're taking your child interest and that's where he's learning, and there were numbers involved and there were letters involved and there was all this sort of stuff that you're not, okay, this is letter A and this is saying 20, you know. He was asking me if I could write the address, and I was asking which number do you think should be, you know, there's all this academic stuff filtering through. So that's another thing that I think that I love about home ed.
Well, also when that thing's like, when it's their idea, you get so much out of them. Like, you know, you know what I mean? Like, they get so much more out of it because there's a self-motivation there. If you've said, oh, you're bored, hey, why don't we be postmen? Even he might have been up for it, but you easily could have been like, no, it's not my thing, you know what I mean? But because it's because it's his idea, it goes so much further.
Yeah.
Than you necessarily would ask for, in a sense, and they get so much more out of it. And it's just because there's the space there in which, you know, to be bored and then to come up with an idea and then to really run with it as far as you possibly can.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was just really interesting in that day to see how it all evolved, because then I could see also my part as facilitator, you know. Because then I was like, oh, okay, well, if you want, we could go to the post office. And then he was like, this whole day became like this dream for him. Like, oh, we have to go to the post office, you know. And then it was like, we literally just went to the post office and he was just there, like, watching. But, you know, it became a thing about something that he initiated, which obviously it doesn't happen every day. But I think it doesn't have to, you know. It's just having that space for those moments, those magical moments to happen. I think that's the valuable thing about being able to home educate.
Yeah, totally. So what's the hardest part?
Oh, okay. So far, I think that the hardest is something that we've touched on in terms of finding the time to do work when, you know, last minute audition comes through.
Yeah.
But also finding the time for me where you just to be on my own, you know, where you just feel like, I don't want to do work, but I also don't want to be a mom. And I just want to lock myself in the wardrobe or in the bathroom and just not talk to anybody. You know, to just recharge your batteries and, you know, make sure that I'm okay sort of mentally and physically. But equally, I recently wrote something about that as well, because it doesn't happen all the time. And I think it is super important to actually get that, you know, be a little bit more, in my case, I found that being a little bit more organized, trying to make a huge effort to go into bed maybe a little bit earlier so that when we wake up, even if it's just 10 minutes, that I get to meditate or whatever it is that someone needs to feel like, okay, I can start my day. Because I find for me, if I don't have that space, then I'm like, I can't, just even like be a mom, you know, you're just in a fractious state where you're like, I need just some space. I recently wrote about something that happened the other day where, and this is something that I've enjoyed about our journey so far, is that I think, and also linked to that idea of home, like parents as home educators are in the same learning. We're both learners, you know, not just a child.
Yeah.
Where I remember we had a delivery and it came on a pallet and we just left the pallet on the grass in the garden. And I said, oh, okay, I'll take it to the recycling at one point. And then I looked at it again and the word that came to my mind was, oh, like this could be a stage. this could so be a stage.
Yeah.
And I was, oh my God. And I looked around the garden, I was like, oh, like, this could be like our garden stage. And it was totally my idea. So it was my idea. Yeah. And I shared it with my kids, like, oh, like, how about we have like a garden stage? And he went for it, but he could have totally said, no, I don't want to. But I was like, oh, you know what? I think, well, look, we have the sticks. And I just got so excited about it. And I was like, okay, we can put this stick, we can stick. And then he was, oh, yeah, and then maybe we can put this drink there. Yeah, and we can put the curtains. And this became this project that was sort of mine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it was so interesting to see my child seeing me so, like, passionate about it. And then we, you know, we didn't do it in one day, you know, because we ordered the curtains and we had to wait for them to arrive, blah, blah, blah. But mm-hmm. then when everything was there, it became like our project. And, you know, I was like, how sewing the curtain, and my boy was interested for like 3 seconds and was like, I don't want to do this anymore. So I was like, that's fine. But then he said, you can do it, mommy, because you're enjoying it. And it was just really interesting that then it was something that I was taking pleasure on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's something that I discovered in that, I think, you know, we finding and that became a moment for me where I was doing something for me, even though my child was sort of part of it on and off, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, I guess, you know, it don't, again, it's not something that you can always do, but it's about seeing the whole process as, oh, you know, when you feel like, oh, I'm not, I don't know, I don't feel up for things, that you can also be involved and finding it something that may give you joy. Like in this case, it was a stage, but it could be like you enjoy painting or cooking, or, you know, that all of it, it's about life and about the things that you enjoy as a mother or as a woman or as a dad or as a whatever. Your child will enjoy it because he's seeing your joy in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, completely. Well, also they're seeing you do something because they're seeing you learn something and figure out how, you know, problem solve and all this stuff because you want to do it.
Yeah.
Rather than just seeing the parent as like, well, they bring me food and they cuddle me when I'm upset and they cuddle me when I'm, you know, tired and whatever, and they read me stories, and it being like, it always being this giving. It's like they actually just get to see you be a person.
Yeah.
Who enjoys things in a way that they are a person and enjoy things and like to get stuck in things.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think, you know, we forget that because we have so many responsibilities sometimes that, like, actually we need to sort of break out of that and be people in front of our children.
Yeah, because I was sharing this with a friend, like, yeah, but you're so creative, like, you just came up with that idea, like, I don't, my brain doesn't work like that. And I get that. I mean, it's not like my brain is always like that either. Sometimes I have really like days where I'm like, I don't want to do anything. But
yeah, of course.
You know, but it's about giving us as adults the opportunity to, and I think home education gives that space to be more open to, oh, like, oh, you know, maybe when I was young, I really liked flowers, but then obviously life took over and, you know, whatever. And, oh, but, you know, and being your child, that children are so present and, you know, that, I don't know, there's, I think it's just about an invitation for home educators to open their eyes and be more alert to what might grab our interest as well. You know, I think that has made it easier, has made the journey easier when I feel a bit like, oh, you know, I don't want to be like, you know, playing hide and seek or whatever, you know.
Yeah, totally. I don't
know. Yeah.
Yeah, we need, there needs to be some stuff that is enjoyable for us and not just that is not just responsibility and sort of devotion to these, you know, to our children or whatever.
Yeah.
There needs to be stuff that's ours.
Yeah.
And if we can do that, you know, sometimes we just want to do that away from our children and just not have to even think about that. But to actually have some of that in the presence of our children, I think it's really important for them as well to understand what it, you know, like what it means, you know, what it can be to be in this stage of our life, not in childhood.
Yeah, and then I think that's when people say, what are you teaching your child? It's like, well, actually, it's not about teaching. It's about, I mean, yeah, I'm sure Luke can learn something from that experience of me building this stage, because it was primarily me. I mean, he was doing bits, but it was there. That's the lesson, you know, and I didn't go, okay, so this is called curtain. This is backstage. This is, first, you know, it was just a living experience.
That he then gets to take part, you know, you now have this stage in your garden. And
yeah.
You know, and so it could become something that, you know, you get to continue the conversation. And you get to, you know, to just share what you know about this with him organically, do you know what I mean? Rather than today we're going to learn about parts of the theatre.
Yeah.
And actually just be like, okay, well, so you're stood in this, we call this the wings. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Or whatever. And then you're just doing something else entirely.
Yeah, we've had already like some really risky productions going on already. I'm like, oh, there's health and safety here. Like stairs, he must have put like stools and stairs, and then we should put a light here, and then Paddington Bear comes down. It's like, yeah. So yeah. But yeah, you're so right. In that it's just play then, you know? It's just about play and then all the things that happen when you're playing, which are maybe lessons.
So maybe we've already answered this question, but I mean the next bit is sort of what have you done that makes that hard stuff easier?
I think definitely this is something that I've recently discovered, and I'm trying to be more mindful of it, of opportunities where I might be like, oh, like I wouldn't mind doing a bit of painting and all this, and like this whole thing about the stage idea. Or, yeah. Also, obviously, I do need to dedicate some time for me where I'm not doing anything parenting related or home ed related. So, you know, as I said, just like trying to be a bit more organized and disciplined with my time has helped. You know, it's not always easy. Sometimes at the end of the day, all you want to do is like watch Netflix. And I think that's okay, you know, but I have seen a difference where even if it's just half an hour earlier going to bed, then when I wake up, depending if your child does wake up 5 a.m. or, yeah. You know, it's not always possible, but it's just, and I think this just came to my mind, or like, I think it came to my mind right now. This is not about being perfect. I don't think there's a perfect way of doing this, but it's just about trying, you know, and this is what has helped me. It's just making sure that, you know what, 10 minutes in my day have made a massive difference. There's this app called Headspace, which I know a lot of people know. It's just 10 minute meditations. To me, that makes a massive difference in how I approach my day. If I'm feeling a little like, oh, I don't know, I just want to stay in bed all day. And yeah, I would say having that time, however you can make it work with a babysitter or your friend helping or your husband helping your partner, and then getting involved as much as possible in the learning experience, and, you know, seeing it not as, okay, here we go again. What are we going to learn today? Okay, ancient Egypt. You know, yeah, if it's not something that interests you, then it's going to make it hard, I think.
Yeah, totally. Mm. So what is the typical day? Is there a typical day in the life?
Oh, gosh.
there usually isn't.
I think right now, it feels quite unstructured. We have a group that we go to on Tuesdays. There's like a forest group, and we might go to a puzzle group on Thursdays. You know, so we've got a few things that we go to, and that's just part of, you know, that just takes part of the day. The rest of the day, it's quite free. I think there are a few things that have helped us give a little bit more of a structure, but it's not really a structure. It's more, I don't know how to call them, but I think I was getting a little bit like, oh my God, what am I doing? You know, okay, waking up and breakfast. Then sometimes it's quite easy that he finds something that he wants to do, like build Lego, and that takes the whole morning. And then we go to forest group, and that's a day, and that was it. And some days he's literally like, I don't know what to do, and something like the post office thing happens. But sometimes it's like, and I think that's okay, you know, to just be like, we don't have to be doing something all the time. Something that I think I had to sit down and reflect on what for me and my husband is important as parents, for Lucan to have as part of his life journey. We came up with a list. So for example, for us, like having some sort of access to a sport or physical activity, like going to the park, it doesn't have to be like going to, like, I don't know, football or something, unless you want to. Having some experiences in nature, it could be a forest group, or it could just be like going to whatever, a garden center. Having some sort of art and music, you know, exposure to people and friends. Yeah. For us, spiritual life is very important for us as well. So, you know, spending some time either meditating or praying or whatever. Mm-hmm. So as long as those things are sort of, for me and for my husband, covered throughout the week, but we don't have like, okay, so today is art, everyone, let's sit down and let's paint. It's more, you know, just having all of those things at some point in the week. You know, for me, that feels like it's sort of, it's not like a structure, but it's like something that for us as parents is important. Like, you choose a school because of the values that they promote, right? So it's similar, you know. And then the other thing I think that has helped a little bit, and that I've tried to do regularly because I've noticed the difference, is just to make sure that every day, as much as possible, the space where we play is inviting. Because I have noticed difference. Sometimes I was a little bit more relaxed about, oh, like not tidying or messy stuff, but then he would just then not notice what's there. And then the moment that I started to make sure that at night everything was sort of in a place, then he's much more, when he wakes up, it's like, well, it's like everything, right? Like when you go to a shop and all the clothes are like in a specific way, like it's inviting, you want to go buy this stuff. So it's that thing I think has made a huge difference in him just wanting to explore and play. So we try in the night sort of to make sure that the next day when he wakes up, he's like, oh, the Lego. And then once a week on Sundays, we sort of move the toys around. So he's like, oh, he had forgotten about this plane that is just there. We just put it somewhere else, you know, and we have found that. So we don't really, to answer your question, we don't really have like a structure, but there are things that we do so that, you know, at the moment our priority is play. I just want him to play. So we just try to make the environment inviting for him to play, basically. I don't know if that answers the question.
I think you had I was looking through your Instagram, and I think you had a great post about him finding a bag of Duplo that you were like, he's done with, was going to the charity shop.
Yeah.
And you had that classical experience, you know, that classic experience that everyone has of that thing that you thought you could get rid of. And then they're like, no, I'm going to really intensively play with this one so that, you know, for a bit. And then you're going to be completely like conflicted about, you thought you could get rid of it and you can't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think probably that was one thing that inspired it, you know. It's like, oh my goodness. Like, well, there are lots of things in this box in the garage that I thought, you know, he had grown out of. But actually what happens is that when he couldn't play with it, or, you know, now he plays with it differently. So obviously he had played with a Duplo, but I thought, oh, he's grown out of it. He's now into like, you know, big boy Lego or whatever. Yeah. So, but now obviously the Duplo gives him a lot of confidence because he can build everything with it, you know. Yeah. Whereas Lego, he still finds some bits tricky, and, you know, and so I was like, oh, this is good. Or like, you know, there are some board games that he's like, I don't want to play that. It's like, okay, I'm going to get rid of it, but actually take it out again, and he might be like, oh yeah, I like this one. So yeah, just recycling toys and put them in different places.
And take them away for a bit and then bring them back out again, and they have this like second and third and fourth life and whatever that you weren't expecting to have.
So
what's going on for home educators in your area?
Oh, well, that's something I'm still sort of figuring out. But there are a lot of things. I feel so lucky and blessed and grateful. There's obviously a lot of the things I have found are on Facebook. There is, based in West Sussex. So there's like the Crawley and Horsham Dragons Home Education Group. And honestly, there are always new things. There are like people starting like sewing a class, or like football club, or gymnastics, a forest group. It can be, I find, a little bit daunting. It's like, oh my god, there's all this, and I should like enroll on everything, and hit the music, and let's go to the cello, and let's go. I have to remind myself that for us this year, it's just the most important thing is just play. And I think that has always sort of grounded me. It's like, no, like I don't have to do all this stuff. But I do, obviously, you know, they, for example, they organized a couple of picnics in two local parks. And I think it's, as you were saying about the community, for me, that's really important, is to meet people and like-minded parents and parents that are in the same journey. Looking as an only child as well, you know, I'm keen for him to, you know, have friends and be with other kids. So more than anything, it's for that reason that I'm interested in kind of joining groups and stuff. We've actually, they, I think you've probably heard of it, but there's some Facebook group for people that are just starting to home educate now, like this year.
I didn't know that.
I don't know how it is, but like starting home education 2019 or something like that. Then that's really nice, because then you see all the parents like on the same, like, what are we doing? And, you know, this is our what we do on the first day of school or a first day of no school. And, you know, people sharing. And that was really inspiring, because it's like, wow, I don't know how many members it has, but loads. And that was a huge sort of boost, you know, like, yeah, you know, there are a lot of people in the same boat. And also, like, we've already met, we're about a group of five parents that I've met, and, you know, we're starting to do like scrapbooking evenings where we just meet once a month, and literally, because everyone's like, oh, how are we going to record if you don't have Instagram? How are you going to record like your child's journey? And, you know, thought, oh, well, we could do a scrapbook, and, you know, so people were going to bring bits and bobs like pens and washi tape and, you know, photos. And but it really is just an opportunity for our parents to meet and have wine and talk.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so I think I mean, that's sort of where I am at the moment in terms of what is out there. It's completely, I mean, discovery phase right now. You know, I know there's a lot out there, and Facebook has been the place where I have found most of the groups and parents. And then in going to those groups, then, you know, you start to connect and be like, oh, that's how, like, on the forest group that we go, it's called Two Muddy Boots, and that's where a group of mums there were like, oh, why don't we start this thing in the evenings? And so that's, you know, so it's just, you start to see the connections there. And then there's another group called Etudio. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced. It's Etudeo, holistic learning, also in West Sussex, and it's sort of Steiner based, and they do a lot of they've got like a thing called Kinder Day, and they do a lot of nature exploration and play, and they also do more like for older kids, like puzzle clubs and maths inspired experiment science. I mean, I don't know, haven't been, but
yeah,
sounds really, really exciting.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
The next question is, do you have any resource recommendations for home ed parents? But I guess actually what I mean is, are there books and things that really kind of have influenced the way that you think about like parenting and home education?
I don't know what the term is, but I think there's like a Japanese term, word that describes people that collect books and never read them.
Yeah, it's that idea that buying books acquiring books and reading books are two completely separate hobbies. Yeah, I know that one.
Well, that's me. So I've got like I would lie to if I said, oh, read this, because I've got a collection. I've got like five home ed books.
Yeah.
That I've seen on Instagram, like, oh my god, that sounds amazing, and I bought it, and
yeah.
I sort of read the first page, and I haven't continued. So I think specifically for home ed, I haven't really read anything. I'm kind of in the process.
But parenting and education theory and all of this sort of stuff, like,
oh yeah,
you know, earlier on,
yeah,
have to be. It's not specific to home ed, but just the stuff that, I guess, the stuff that influenced you and kind of, you know.
I think I would consider myself kind of a gentle parent, and so anything that has to do with gentle parenting, attachment parenting, respectful parenting, they're all slightly different, but you know, which is about sort of responding to the needs of your child in a gentle and respectful way. So anything that Janet Lansbury has to say, I don't agree with absolutely everything, but you know, there's a quote from Magda, which I had written here, that says, Magda Gerber says, be careful what you teach, it might interfere with what they're learning. And that was, I read that, and that was, I remember having an epiphany moment of like, you know, this root of home ed might really be, it really rings true to us as a family. And she's all about, like, doesn't matter how quickly your child learns to read, you know, it's about sort of really giving each child their time and space that they need to read. You know, it doesn't matter if it's at 3 years old or at 11, you know. So I find her very inspiring. I'm a big fan of Montessori. I think she goes along those lines as well, you know, and treating children as human beings. And I think, of course, you know, our brains as adults are more developed in many ways, but, you know, I think Montessori is really great at, you know, just treating children equally. And so that I have found her really, really inspiring, and involving your child in your tasks. You know, if it's cooking, you know, give them a knife that, of course, it's safe for them to use, but they can do cutting. And, you know, like, be mindful of where you put the books. Perhaps they're too high for him. And for example, I went through a phase of my kid. Well, he's still going through that, but I don't know if it ever stops, wanting snacks all the time. Like, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, yeah. I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Does that ever stop?
No.
Okay.
All home ed kids are hobbits. They need 15 meals a day kind of thing.
And I was like, oh, and then we had the snacks really high up in a cupboard. And one time I came downstairs and he was like, I don't know how he managed to get up there. And he was like, it was quite dangerous where he was.
Yes.
I was quite impressed by his ability to get there. I was like, you can't do that. And then I was like, yeah, but, you know, why do you put the snacks up there? And obviously I put them there because there were obviously lots of chocolates and stuff there was for me, right? But then I thought, okay, maybe I can just put the snacks in a more accessible place for him. So, you know, and I know that I didn't say that, like, I got that inspiration from Montessori. It's like, you know, we just need to be mindful of the level at which your kids can see, you know. You know, we moved all the snacks to a place where he could freely open the cupboard. And if he was hungry, like, well, check your snack cupboard. And, you know, so a lot of ideas I've had in terms of how I've arranged our house are inspired on her. I run an attachment printing group here in Horsham. So I would say anything that, you know, along those lines of just responding to your child in a timely and gentle way is something that has sort of inspired me. There's a lot out there. I mean, the Attachment Parenting UK website has loads of blogs and articles and stuff. So anything there that I've read, I think as a parent for the first, I don't know, year, I honestly felt I was a bad mom and I was failing. I'm doing everything wrong. I'm doing everything that the book says I shouldn't be doing. Yeah. And then a friend of mine mentioned gentle parenting or something. Anyways, I got to the Attachment Parenting website and I was like, it was such a relief because I was like, oh, there are other parents that are doing this and actually there are benefits to this. What? Like breastfeeding your child to sleep is okay? Oh my goodness. You know, and I remember like crying in relief. I was like, oh, you know. And that's where I mean that my whole journey to parenting, you know, became something that I never imagined before being a parent that it would be this way. Yeah, so I guess anything along those lines is something that I have found inspiring.
So, and do you have any book recs or like, you know, for like read alouds and things for kids?
Yes. Okay. So I think books is another area that I'm really, really passionate about. And I think I forgot to mention it earlier, but in terms of sort of, well, maybe I think if it's with the whole question about resources, I suppose, or you know, what can sometimes make it easier in a day as a home ed parent is just like always a book.
Yes.
You know, and like a storybook, you know, it doesn't have to be like, okay, let's read about the planets or something, unless your child is stupid. Because there's obviously words, but there's also pictures and there's just a lot. And I started a project, I started doing this thing called the Storybooks Project, which is also on my Instagram, where I literally picked, I don't do it very often anymore, but I pick a story that my son's interested in and then just squeeze everything out of it. But it not even in a week, it could be like 2 weeks or a month or whatever. We just keep going back to it. And for example, my boy really likes the whole Oi Frog, you know, and you know, they obviously talk about a million animals and, you know, the playing with words and all that. And then we explore that. But anyways, that's something I do as well. But in terms of books, he loves those, like this whole sequence of Oi Frogs. I think he, especially when he started speaking more and talking more. He liked the play with words and how they all sounded. My boy at the moment really, and I think again with books, it's really amazing when you find books that really, you know, that it would really help your child or it would really connect with your child depending on what they're going through. So for example, my boy right now is really competitive and really sort of like, you know, it's just everything is a competition, you know, again, not everything, but he's like, okay, let's do a race about this and let's do that. And I found this, this book called I Really Want to Win. And he, he actually now knows it by heart. So I start reading it and he corrects my obviously not very British accent because his dad has read it. He's like, that's not how you say it and whatever. But, you know, he now recites it and it's about this, this girl who is always, she's never winning. And then in the end learns that actually, you know, it's about doing what you love doing. And then you, you know, she ends up winning like a bake-off thing because she loved baking cakes. And anyways, but it's, I think he likes that because, you know, he struggles with sometimes not, not winning and stuff. So that's one that we read quite frequently. Then also he, you know, he's, Lucan is quite sensitive. So we found a really lovely book called In My Heart. And it talks about, it's a book, it's called In My Heart, A Book of Feelings by Joe Wittick. And it talks about all the, all the feelings that we have, you know, so it goes through like sadness and, you know, anger and feeling calm and feeling shy. And then after that, we always talk about, oh, which one do you think you feel like today? You know, and he says, oh, I feel shy. Oh, yeah. And then we talk about it. So it's a really nice book, you know, if you want to explore that area. And then obviously I try to find as many books in Spanish as I can. Because, you know, that's, I mean, we watch Paw Patrol in Spanish, which is really funny.
Oh, cool.
Because, but it's funny because obviously my accent is a Mexican Spanish accent. But Paw Patrol speak Spanish like people from Spain. So it's really funny because then I can, I have caught Lucan playing Paw Patrol with a Spanish accent. And so it's just hilarious. Like, vamos, vamos, chicos. And I was like, oh, I don't talk like that. But it's just really funny. But yeah, and, you know, obviously for me, like trying to keep as many Mexican traditions alive is really important. So I have quite a few, like the Day of the Dead sort of tradition, like books that are sort of in Spanish. So I have one that's called Día de los Muertos, which we love, which is about the Mexican tradition of the Day of the Dead. And it's actually in English. We love. And then, yeah, I mean, we're right now we're really into pirates as well. So pirates is a big thing and we've got quite a big selection. But the last one that we are reading is called Plunge into the Pirate Pool by Carol Hart and Ed Eves. And it's a lovely one. And it's a very good one because my boy really doesn't love going underwater when he swims. He's got a real fear of that at the moment. And this one is a little boy that jumps into the pool and goes deep down, 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 and then finds like a submarine. And then the pirates are there and then they take, you know, so they go, he goes into this massive adventure. And then at the end of the, at the end of the story, he comes out of the pool and his mom is waiting. So I think, you know, when you find books that touch on things that your child might be sensitive to or, you know, it's really special. So, yeah, I think that those are the books that we are sort of really into now. I mean, we discovered our audiobook called A Treasury of Songs. Which, I mean, I'm really keen on getting more audiobooks because I find it really difficult with TV sometimes to turn it off. It's a challenge for me. I know that not everyone has it, but for us, I think Lucan really gets hooked into it and, you know, but audiobooks is a little different. He still goes into that world of, you know, imagination, or, you know, he's hooked into it, but it's much easier. He closes the book and it's almost like he understands that the story is over and we can move on to other something else. So I'm really kind of keen on getting more audiobooks. But we found this one called A Treasury of Songs, which are like, you know, the songs by Julia Donaldson. So all the stories like Ruffalo and stuff like that. But they're all sung. They're all sung, and yeah, this has been one of the best things that I've recently bought. I thoroughly recommend that one.
Her songs are wonderful.
And yeah, so Yeah, and also they're sung in a way that is like your granny singing, right?
Yeah.
So it's not, it's, it feels very like, when I first started, when I first put it on, my husband came like, oh, who's here? Like, he actually thought someone had come with a guitar because he was very sort of, you know, I don't know, sounded quite normal or, you know, cozy, I don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say those ones.
So what would you want someone who doesn't home educate to know about home education?
Okay, so I think the main thing I would like someone to know, just know about home education, is that home education isn't really about parents suddenly turning into teachers, but it's just like an extension of the parenting journey where I believe it's an invitation for parents and child or children to learn together. And, you know, it's an invitation for us to... you know, to learn. And it's, I guess, it's a challenge or an invitation to rethink about what education really means.
Yeah.
I think that's what I would say.
And where can people find you online?
So my Instagram account is at play live and learn. So I'm there. And then, you know, there's a link there in my bio to my blog. So I'm recently trying to be more active on my blog. Sometimes it's tricky to find the time, but but you can find me there. And then there's a link to my also like my personal, like my actress account as well, if you want to contact me on Twitter or whatever. But the Play, Live and Learn is probably the easiest way to contact me if you're interested.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been fantastic.
It's been wonderful. Thank you for listening. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things we talk about in this episode or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes on the blog at homeedvoices.co.uk or follow the link on Instagram at homeedvoicespodcast or Twitter at homeedvoices. This is episode 21. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcasts as it helps more people to find out about it. The Home Ed Voices podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Hanrod. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by Seastock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube or anywhere else where podcasts are found. I'll be back with episode 22 in 2 weeks, and until then, here's to more Home Ed adventures.